What I want to talk about this morning is about remembering well. I think it's so important to remember well. When asked about my faith and how it all began, I can have a tendency for the story to go something like this. Well, I went along to a carol service and I heard a vicar give a great gospel message, and I was, you know, really moved by that. So I decided to go on an Alpha course, and then I made a decision to come to know, to accept Jesus into my life. But if I was to remember the most significant aspect of my life in that way, it's very self-focused. I did this. I did that. And it would be to deny the reality of what actually was going on if I was to take a step back. If I'm to remember well, then I look back and I see that the truth is God was working throughout my life. He was reaching out to me before I was even born. And when I look at the details of my life, I can see how he orchestrated so many incidents that have prepared me, experiences that have prepared me for the purposes that he has for my life. Divine encounters with people that just have facilitated my journey. So, like the friend who invited me to that carol service, or the life of that vicar, John, who preached the gospel. It was God who was pursuing me, constantly loving me. And even when I turned my back on him for so many years, and it's Jesus' death which has given me eternal life, not that I deserved it, and not because of anything that I have done. That is remembering well. And as this Psalm 124 that we read this morning conveys so well, it was God, the maker of heaven and earth, who rescued me from death. Not just in this life, but for eternity. Because I was heading for death. But it was by God's grace that I escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare that has been broken through Jesus' death. We have escaped. He rescued me. So it was not my strength, just my being willing to receive what he had for me. The life, the eternal life that he was offering. And so all that I can do in response is to say thank you to Christ our King for his sacrifice. Now today's Remembrance Day, and we're remembering those that gave their lives for us, lest we forget. And I want to encourage us today to remember well. It's easy for us to slip into a mode where we remember the valiant deeds of many who sacrificed their lives, which is valid, and yet miss the bigger picture of what was going on, of how God was rescuing us from an evil regime, for example, in the Second World War. I was reminded earlier this year of one of those events, of Dunkirk and the evacuation of British and other Allied troops from France near the start of the war. And much of our history is told in books and increasingly in films. And just this summer, a highly acclaimed film about Dunkirk was released. It did a wonderful job of recording the heroic deeds of many soldiers, as well as brave civilians who went over to Dunkirk in their small boats to rescue them. And yet, sadly, the film failed to convey the wider story of how God was at work in miraculous ways over those events. For those unfamiliar with the episode, there had been what Churchill described as a catastrophic military disaster. As German troops had swept through Belgium and the Netherlands and were quickly eating up France, they'd pinned about 400,000 British and other Allied troops against the coast of northern France at Dunkirk. It reminds me of the Israelites trapped between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. There seemed little hope of survival. I'm sure many would have been in despair, willing to surrender, seeing little chance of escape. A plan to evacuate them was being executed, and Churchill estimated that they would be able to save about 30,000 of the 400,000 troops. And the German High Command were boasting that the British Army are encircled and our troops are proceeding to its annihilation. Had they succeeded, the outcome for Britain in the war would have looked very different indeed. But God had other plans. Britain had a godly sovereign, King George VI, who in a stirring broadcast called on Britain and the Commonwealth to commit their cause to God. In an unprecedented move, King George called a national day of prayer. And on Sunday, the 26th of May, 1940, the King, members of the Cabinet, and many thousands attended Westminster Abbey, and millions of others packed churches to cry out to God. Photos of Westminster Abbey show enormous queues of thousands of people who could not get in. And the press the next day said nothing like it has ever happened before. It's often when we've exhausted all other possibilities that we finally turn to God. I can certainly relate to that. It's only when I'm left with no other option do I finally go, okay, God, well, I better pray about this. For the Israelites by the Red Sea, they similarly had no way out of their situation. The Bible tells us they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. And the cry for help from the British nation did not go unanswered. For what followed was quite extraordinary. At least three miracles occurred. The first was that the German army, which was rapidly advancing and about to annihilate the British army, was ordered to halt. Panzer tank divisions were just 18 miles from Dunkirk. That's about the distance from here to the M40. Historians have long debated the reason for this halt order. It's unclear why. Churchill suspected that the Air Force was given the task to finish off the job. But what it did was it bought precious time for the British troops to solidify defences and prepare for the evacuation. The second miracle was that 4 days after the halt order, a huge storm exploded over Flanders, which grounded the fearsome German Air Force and allowed the British some much-needed breathing room again to get the troops down to the beaches. And the third miracle was that despite that severe storm in Flanders, over the English Channel, just 65 miles away, which is about the distance from here to London, there was a flat calm. For 2 days, there was a calmness rarely seen on the English Channel. And the waters around Dunkirk were described like a mill pond. And this allowed over 900 boats, the majority of them being small civilian boats, to rescue over 330,000 of the troops. Other miracles of deliverance were reported, one where about 400 soldiers were being machine gunned by about 60 enemy aircraft. And after prolonged fire, they stood up to find not one casualty. And another, a chaplain who lay in the sand being attacked by gunfire and bombing for what felt like an eternity, yet was able to stand up unharmed to see on the ground his figure outlined with bullets and holes all around. It soon became known as the miracle of Dunkirk. Even Winston Churchill, not known for his faith, referred to it as a miracle of deliverance. Now, war, of course, is not the will of God. It's out of our broken world, our greed, our pride, and our sin that we end up quarreling and fighting with each other. But if we believe in an ever-present God, one who is with us always, then even in such dark places, God is there, using his people to bring about his will, both at an individual level, through selfless acts of helping others, and at a national level, bringing about his purposes for a nation. And after the events, our response is to remember well, to give thanks where it's due. After Dunkirk, when services of national thanksgiving were held in many churches, they sang this Psalm 124. It appeared as if it had been written for the event. If the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. The raging waters would have swept us away. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So I want to encourage us to remember well, not just the sacrifice that people gave, but on how God rescued us from this darkness, from that evil regime. Lest we forget, comes from Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, encouraging the Israelite nation to remember their God. It says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. So for us personally, let's remember well. Let's acknowledge and celebrate God's work in our own lives and in our nation. At a very practical level, one way to do this is to keep a physical note of some of our prayers and requests. I've been doing this over the last year, and it's been humbling and hugely encouraging as I look back and just reframe some of the memories. I see successes that where I've patted myself on the back and been quite proud of what I've achieved. And yet I see these are the very things that I cried out to God for only a year ago. And other things where I've been praying and I've forgotten that I prayed them. And I look back and see God's answer to those prayers that would otherwise have gone unnoticed. So it's built my faith. So I encourage us all to keep a record of what we're asking God and keep a record of what God has done for us. So let's remember well and give credit to the one who deserves our praises.